Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live today from 3rd and Home, connected to First Horizon Park. Nashville Sounds tonight against the Indianapolis Indians. And, of course, First Horizon Park, 3rd and Home. You can literally go out on the balcony and you watch a game tonight. I actually am going to the Sounds game tonight, so I'm really excited. So, you know, if I just want to roll through these 4 hours on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, I might do that. Caroline Fenton is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello. Enjoy the game tonight. That'll be a blast.
It should be fun. I hope it is as much fun as the Vanderbilt baseball game just was. Congratulations to Kamar Rocker. You talk about a heck of a performance. He was fantastic. I think 7 2/3, no run ball. Nick Maldonado came in, got out of a jam. Vanderbilt takes game one against East Carolina. You'll have game two tomorrow, and then the Vols get theirs kicked off tomorrow night against LSU. And no offense to East Carolina, but I got Vanderbilt, Tennessee, LSU, and East Carolina. And clearly East Carolina is the least of my concerns in that grouping. But I think we're going to have a great weekend of baseball. So we're out here, First Horizon Park, 3rd and Home, where the Sounds are. And then, of course, obviously Vanderbilt's here and Tennessee in Knoxville. So we'll keep you updated on that. I want to start with this. So everybody now is just enamored, just excited, the excitement for this Titans offense is really unlike anything I think I've ever seen. And that includes when I was in the ninth grade and Steve McNair was the reigning MVP of the NFL. That tells you something. That tells you how jazzed they are with the addition of Julio Jones. We know A.J. Brown is a number one wide receiver, or at least this team's number one wide receiver. We know Derrick Henry is the best running back in the NFL. He's the reigning offensive player of the year. And we know Julio Jones is headed to the Hall of Fame. But one thing I was thinking about, now that all the dust has started to settle, Julio's going to wear number two, he's out on the practice field. One thing I kept thinking about was, what's this mean for Tannehill? Not, oh, wow, Tannehill has another weapon, he's going to throw to them, Tannehill's going to be the man. Maybe. I don't know. But that's not what I meant when I said, what's this mean for Tannehill? Julio Jones was asked yesterday about developing chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. I have heard that Julio and Tannehill have been together many times already this week, which is a good sign. Here's what Julio said yesterday.
Me and Ryan, we done hung out already. We done went out to dinner. It's just talking, you know, communication. But I don't think it's going to take no time at all. I mean, he's a vision player. I'm a vision player. You know, you just got to go out there and just repetition at the end of the day, really just going out there and just, you know, this is where I wanted at. Can you put it here? And where he wants me at, can I get there? So it's just us working together, because at the end of the day, you know, as long as we're on the same page, we're going to be successful.
And I think that's probably a good sign. I also think Julio Jones gets it. He's a veteran player. I'm a veteran player. It makes it a lot easier than when you're a rookie or you're in your second year and a change in terminology just completely throws you off. It also doesn't hurt that Julio had some of his best seasons under Kyle Shanahan, and that this offense is essentially the Kyle Shanahan system. But I do wonder a question about Tannehill that nobody has really brought up. Not anybody on ESPN like Mike Tannenbaum, who said he was a top five quarterback in the league earlier this week. Not anybody locally who's too caught up in the name of Julio Jones. But is there another gear for Ryan Tannehill? I like Ryan Tannehill, but every time I feel like I have a slight criticism of Tannehill, everybody turns this into, oh my, here goes Jared Stillman. He's against Ryan Tannehill. And I'm not against Ryan Tannehill. I just know that the reality of what Tannehill has been over the last 2 years, which has been very good and very efficient, doesn't always align with explosive offense. The game has changed, and so now 300 yards doesn't matter as much as it once did. But Peyton Manning was a 300-yard passer. Kurt Warner in The Greatest Show on Turf, that electric offense, he was a 350-yard passer. Nobody ever talks about this, but in Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, he threw for 100 yards and change, and he was the MVP, not Warner with his 350. Ryan Tannehill, since becoming the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, has thrown for over 300 yards on six different occasions. The Titans are 4-2 in those games, which is good. But only one of those came against a top 10 defense. That was his first start after taking over for Mariota. He was 3-12, two touchdowns and a pick, and a 23-20 win against the Chargers, who finished that year at 5-11. Pretty amazing. The Chargers had the sixth-ranked defense in the NFL, played Patrick Mahomes twice, and finished 5-11. But that's neither here nor there. Tannehill, 391, three touchdowns, and a win against Oakland. But they were the 19th-ranked defense. When it comes to the playoffs, and it comes to teams like Indianapolis or Cleveland or Baltimore or even Kansas City and Buffalo, you're going to face a good defense. You're probably going to face a top 5 defense. You're probably going to face a top 10 defense. And if you're not facing a great defense, you're going to be facing a quarterback who you are going to have to outshoot. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and all those weapons in Cleveland, they're all in the AFC. And if you were to, say, get to a Super Bowl, you're looking at Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Those are all really good quarterbacks. Is there another gear? I think has to be the question with Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill's best wins have been his performances where he hasn't even thrown for 200 yards. Last year against Buffalo, 21 of 28 for 195 and three touchdowns. And the discussion on national TV the day afterwards was Tannehill an MVP candidate? Again, he didn't throw for 200 yards. Against Kansas City, in a big win in November of 2019, kind of the win that cemented the Titans as potential playoff contenders, Ryan Tannehill, 13 of 19 for 181 and two touchdowns. Tannehill is efficient. Tannehill knows the offense. More importantly, he knows the defense they're throwing at him, which makes Derrick Henry a much better running back. Last year, the Titans were electric on offense at times, but they needed to because their defense was pretty bad. And while I think it's fair to assume that the defense should be better this year, we all know in our hearts it's probably not going to be, you know, good. They're going to try to get by. So is there another gear for Ryan Tannehill? There was another gear in 2016 for Matt Ryan when he had Julio Jones, and he won the league MVP. Atlanta ended up in the Super Bowl. By the way, they beat Aaron Rodgers on their way. They beat the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles. There was another gear for Matt Ryan. Kyle Shanahan left, and Matt Ryan never found it again. The following year, there was another gear in 2019 for Lamar Jackson that he had never played at before. Last year, there was another gear for Josh Allen when the Bills acquired Stephon Diggs. We can go all the way back to Nick Foles' playoff run in 2017. Sometimes these quarterbacks just have another gear they're capable of that we haven't seen so far. Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs for the Titans is averaging under not just 200 yards per game, but is averaging under 160 in the playoffs. He averages 1.5 touchdowns per game and a half of an interception. That speaks to how efficient Tannehill has been in his 2 years as quarterback of the Titans. But as I brought up many times, down a touchdown in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, Tannehill couldn't get it done. He missed a wide-open Cam Batson on a 3rd-and-2 that Jonnu Smith dropped, and he missed a wide-open A.J. Brown on the eventual game-ending interception on a ball intended for Khalif Raymond. Those things should be a lot easier when Julio Jones is on the field. But I still wonder, and we don't know much about offensive coordinator Todd Downing, but I still wonder, is there another gear for Tannehill? Because that may be now the biggest question outside of the defense. We know A.J. Brown is going to have a good season. We know Derrick Henry, even if there's a little bit of a fall off after all of the carries he's had over the last 2 years, still should be the same Derrick Henry that Nick Saban gave the ball to 40 times a game in his Heisman Trophy campaign, and the same guy that ran through Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But what about Tannehill? Is there another gear? Can he this season, now that Julio Jones is here, can he go to Buffalo, a place where when you look at his career in Miami and he played in that division, when he went to Buffalo in December and January, wasn't very good. Can he go to Buffalo and outshoot Josh Allen? Can he take on that Cleveland defense this year and give you the same performance he gave you last year against Cleveland, 389, three touchdowns and a pick, but do it in a winning effort, not a 41-35 losing effort? I like Tannehill. I like everything Ryan Tannehill stands for. I think he's the leader this team needs. I think he is a great quarterback for a Mike Vrabel coach team, and I think he is selfless. And I think that he knows the game better than any quarterback maybe the Titans have ever had. Steve McNair won an MVP, and he wasn't throwing for 350 a game. But the question still has to be, is there another level? We knew with Steve McNair, there was another level. Just like with Josh Allen, just like with Nick Foles, just like with Matt Ryan, just like with Jared Goff in the year he had in 2018 when the Rams got to the Super Bowl. Is there another gear? I'm not asking Ryan Tannehill to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Russell Wilson. I'm not asking him to be Big Ben in his prime. I'm asking him, can he give me an Eli Manning-like run just once? That's the question. We know the Titans defense is going to have its issues. We know they're not going to be perfect. We know Julio Jones is probably still playing at a Pro Bowl level. We know Derrick Henry is at a Pro Bowl level. We know A.J. Brown is at a Pro Bowl level. We feel good about the offensive line, especially with the return of Taylor Lewan. It's all about Tannehill. Not, is Tannehill good enough to be a starting quarterback? That was something Miami didn't believe in. The answer to that is hell yes. Is Tannehill good enough to be the quarterback of the Titans? Again, we saw Jake Locker. We saw Vince Young. We saw Marcus Mariota. We know the answer to that is another hell yes. But can Tannehill take the next step? We asked this question about the Predators all year, especially when they got into the playoffs, and it was, is there another gear where they can match Carolina and they can beat Carolina? And everybody kept telling us, oh, there's another gear they can play at. But was there really? Because they never did. With Tannehill, I love the efficiency. I love the player. I love the guy. But is there another level when it comes to elite competition in the NFL? And I don't know the answer. What do you think? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I feel like, Caroline Fenton, you have a take on this. And I want to hear what that take is on the other side. But I do feel like you have a take.
Of course I do.
That's a strong take, isn't it?
Well, why would you have a take if it's not strong?
Well, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, so you better have a hot take today. 615-737-1025, calls and texts. This is the question. Do you believe that with the addition of Julio Jones, there is another level for Ryan Tannehill? That, again, Tannehill has been the quarterback for essentially 2 years. He's got, including the playoffs, 6 300-yard games. And they're against teams like Carolina and the Raiders and Minnesota and that terrible Texan team last year. Is there another gear? 615-737-1025. We are live from 3rd and Home today, the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 the game.
What can you do to facilitate he and Ryan learning each other, and how much time goes into that? How do you deploy things maybe differently during camp than you would usually?
I think that's the most important relationship if you're a receiver, is the one with the quarterback. We talk all the time. You know, there's a play that gets installed that you talk about man or zone, and you talk about spacing or running a route. But at the end of the day, if I'm a receiver, I'm going to be where the quarterback wants me to be when he needs me to be there. And so that's my message to them, is figure out quickly where the quarterback wants you to be and get there. And if you get the ball, take advantage of your opportunity. So I think to your question, the only way that they do that is by practicing, by meeting, by having conversations, you know, no different than what we would have, you know, any of our quarterbacks or wide receivers do, you know, when they're coming in here probably for the first time.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. And, you know, Mike Vrabel, he didn't really want to say much. And I think he did a pretty good job of not saying much. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're live at 3rd and Home at First Horizon Park. So, again, Everybody's excited about Julio Jones. I listened to the Vrabel press conference yesterday. Vrabel answered every question about Julio Jones. I listened to Julio's press conference yesterday. Josh Reynolds had a press conference yesterday. Tannehill and A.J. Brown had some charity event they did the day that Julio was acquired. They talked about their excitement. And I'm excited. Like, I don't want people to think that I'm not excited. I feel like sometimes it puts off this vibe because I just kind of maybe look at everything a little critically, that I'm not excited or that I don't care or that I don't think it's a big deal or whatever. But one assumption we have to make is the Titans defense is going to be bad this year.
Better than it was last year. But also, what does that really say?
And we can't assume anything. We can't assume anything other than better than last year. Like, that's the best we can get to, which is saying something. But Tannehill is a great, I mean, I don't want to call Tannehill a game manager, because when you say game manager, it's like you're saying that that game manager can't make the winning throw at the end of the game for you to win, and that's not true. In that New England playoff game, Tannehill made the throw that you had to make to win the game to Firkser on a third and long. In the Houston overtime win, as they came back at the end of the game, Tannehill made the game-winning throw to A.J. Brown, or game-tying throw to A.J. Brown that you have to make in order to win. When he threw for 181 yards and they beat the Chiefs 2 years ago, there was a drive on third down where Tannehill took off with the ball, got the first down, fired one over the middle to Firkser for a big completion, fired one into the end zone for Humphreys. Like, he can make those throws to win you the game. But again, can he outshoot Mahomes? This is a guy in 2 years, a year and a half of being the starter, who's thrown for 300 yards in a passing league six times. That's kind of my question. Is we saw Matt Ryan do it to win a league MVP. We saw Josh Allen do it last year. We've seen, you know, not everybody's Aaron Rodgers every year, but we've seen Cam Newton win a league MVP. We've seen, going all the way back to Nick Foles in the playoff run he had, Joe Flacco in the Super Bowl. Can Tannehill, is there another level for Ryan Tannehill now that Julio Jones is here? And I think that's a big question going into next season.
I think he does. I think he very much so does. Do Why? I think that he will be league MVP? Probably not. But I think that the confidence in his wide receivers and the entire receiver core is on another level than it was last year. And that is no shade to Corey Davis. That is no shade to Jonnu Smith. But this receiver core, I think it will be completely transformed in a way that Ryan Tannehill can throw that deep ball that everyone claims that he can do. And he's going to have so much more confidence in that. There is a reason why this team is very much so a running team. Derrick Henry, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to take so much pressure off of Derrick Henry and open up that backfield so much more just because of the confidence that this team can have in Julio Jones. And I think that the relationship that Julio Jones spoke to with about Ryan Tannehill that he said earlier in the show, I think that's huge. I think that relationship, that quarterback receiver relationship, that trust that I think A.J. Brown and Julio Jones has and will continue to grow. And I think those kind of uncoachables, the trust and the reliance and that just kind of unspoken bond is going to be huge.
I think the question is, how much better does the receiver make the quarterback? So I'll give an example. Kirk Cousins. He's had good receivers since the day he's walked into Minnesota, whether it's Kyle Rudolph or Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs or Justin Jefferson. He's had good receivers, and the results have been kind of the same. And they were the same results when he was in Washington. Like, they're kind of the same. And I can't even name the wide receivers he had in Washington because they were never relevant. So that guy is not made better by his wide receivers. Kurt Warner, when you look at his career in the NFL, Kurt Warner in St. Louis, when he had Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, was leading the league in completion percentage. So when he was with the Rams and he had those guys, it was 67%, 68%, 65%, 4,800 yards in a season with the Rams in 2001. When he went to the Giants for that 1 year and he started 10 games, waiting to turn it over to Eli Manning, when he did that, 62% down from the 68%. And then when he went to Arizona and became the starter again with Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin, and at 37 years old, he was back to 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns. I mean, clearly Kurt Warner's career was affected by the wide receivers. Guys like Brady and Manning, they really, they're so good that they make the receivers. Like, it doesn't matter if Manning has Marvin Harrison, who's in the Hall of Fame, or Reggie Wayne, who will probably be in the Hall of Fame, or Edgerrin James at running back, or Joseph Addai, or Dominic Rhodes, or Demaryius Thomas, or Eric Decker. It just doesn't matter. Pierre Garçon, Austin Collie. I mean, it never mattered to Manning. Doesn't matter to Brady for the most part. Tannehill is not as good as Manning or Brady. Tannehill is not as good as Mahomes, who can take a guy like Byron Pringle and turn him into a star-ish wide receiver. Mecole Hardman, who all he has is one tool, run deep. Well, guess what? With Mahomes, he can run around enough, uncork a rocket, and then that plays right into the fact that Hardman's got great speed. So I think the question has to be, what about adding Julio Jones to the mix makes Tannehill a better quarterback than it doesn't for lesser quarterbacks who, no matter what receivers you give them, really don't elevate their game? And the one thing I would say I kind of hold against Tannehill, and I don't completely hold it against Tannehill because I think there were a lot of issues in Miami, but at one point in Miami, he had Kenny Stills. He had Jay Ajayi, who I think led the league in rushing. Like, he had good weapons. Kenny Stills was there. Jarvis Landry was there. Like, it wasn't like Tannehill had a bunch of bums in Miami. I know that we look at Miami as if it is a kind of bumish organization, and I certainly don't like the coaching they ever gave him, whether it was Philbin or Gase, but he had weapons in Miami, and he never took that kind of step. He never got to that next level, which is, again, not what he's going to have to be the whole season. Efficient, 210 yards, one touchdown, two touchdowns, no picks, turn around, give it to Derrick Henry. That should be good enough to get you back to the playoffs. But when you're on the road at Buffalo and they take Derrick Henry out of the game, now that you've got Julio Jones, can you go win the game for me? That's the question.
See, why are we taking Derrick Henry out of the conversation?
Because that's what Baltimore did last year.
Because they're completely going to shut him down?
Because you're going to run into a game in the playoffs where you play a great defense. I think, like, to me, if we're talking Super Bowl here, let's just envision the Super Bowl path for next year, right?
Right.
So let's say the Titans win the division, but they're not the number one seed because Kansas City's the number one seed. What seed are the Titans, just off the top of your head?
In the AFC?
Yes.
Four? Five?
Okay, well, you have to at least be four if you win the division. So let's say they're four. So that means you get the best wild card. So you're playing either Cleveland or Baltimore. So those teams have good defenses. And again, taking total defense does not say whether or not somebody has a great defense or that it will be a good defense this year. But as far as league ranking is concerned, you play a team like Cleveland or Baltimore, you're taking on really good defenses, good players. Myles Garrett in Cleveland, and we know what Baltimore's defense did to Derrick Henry last year. But that, again, those aren't elite defenses. Those are okay defenses. Those defenses are fine. But then what's the next step after that? You're going to either Buffalo or Kansas City. And again, those defenses are good-ish, but now both quarterbacks can totally outshoot you. So you're going to have to go score with those quarterbacks, and their defenses are better than yours. And then if you get to the Super Bowl, and it's Tampa Bay, or it's the Rams with those defenses, I mean, someone's taking Derrick Henry out of the game.
So TD tweeted this the other day, and I think it's relevant. So the Titans traditionally face 8 men in the box with Derrick Henry, which sure. Is, of course, that's what you're going to do when you have when you're defending Derrick Henry. With 8 men in the box in 5 years, Julio has 634 receiving yards, 163 more than anyone else. And a 7 man in the box, A.J. Brown leads the league with 4.3 yards per reception. 6 man, Henry averages 5.3 yards per rush in 2 years. So I hear you that if they take Derrick Henry out, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones can eat just fine.
But does the quarterback get them the ball? Does the quarterback elevate his game to that level?
That's the question.
And again, Matt Ryan. I mean, I think we look at Matt Ryan and say, when Matt Ryan retires, we'll say he had a good career, not a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
So I would say that Matt Ryan and Eli Manning are kind of similar, but Eli has the playoff success, and he played in New York. So Eli's going to go to the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. but they're probably in that similar range. Neither guy was Brett Favre. Neither guy was Ben Roethlisberger in his prime. Brady, Manning was never that kind of player. Those guys could raise their game when they were given Plaxico Burress, when they were given Mario Manningham making incredible catches, that playoff run Eli Manning went through where they were the sixth seed and they went all the way and knocked off the greatest team that I've ever seen. They had to go to Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game and win. However Eli did it, I will never understand. As somebody who watched a lot of Eli Manning football, that's the question, is can Tannehill do what Eli Manning did for two random pull it out of his rear end playoff runs? And I think he can. I'm a little skeptical.
And I understand your skepticism, but I think that he can. Last year he had a 65% completion percentage. Words are hard today. Tom Brady had a 6.57. Mm-hmm. Tannehill has a 6.55. Ben Roethlisberger 6.56. He's not far behind the Tom Brady. So it's there. I think it's there. And I think the piece that he needed to break through to that next level, I think that he has the capacity to be there, and he just needed a right wide receiver to be able to do it. And he has that now.
You know what Tom Brady's got, though, that Tannehill will not have this year?
A defense?
He won't have that defense. And it's all part of the equation. Now, I will say this. The two things I know about Brady, one, Brady elevates the entire team just by being there. Brady elevates the entire team. And Tannehill, I think, has elevated this organization since he's been there, to be fair to Tannehill. Brady elevates the entire team. Brady's got a great defense. So to look at it and say, well, you know, he's like a step behind Brady, which is something we did on the show. I mean, again, I wish I could go back and change my mind and say they should have gone after Brady last year. But I said at the time, Tannehill over Brady. Everybody else except for me and Steve Lehman seemed to think that that's crazy talk. But
just find that so hard to believe. I believe you, but
you think it's hard to believe that I said Tannehill over Brady?
Yeah, because I know you love Brady.
Brady's old. I love Brady. I love Brady. It's so funny. I know this is going to sound crazy. We all watched The Last Dance last year, right?
Yes.
So it's on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rewatching The Last Dance. First of all, I think The Last Dance is awesome. And I was rewatching it, and I just remember how much everybody loved Michael Jordan. I'm sure there were some people that hated Michael Jordan, but I was 8 years old when Michael Jordan retired from the Bulls, which was essentially the end of the greatness of Michael Jordan, like pre-Wizards. And you don't remember Michael Jordan, like
no.
The Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan.
Mm-mm.
And I think it's so crazy. A buddy of mine has an 8-year-old son. And I'm telling the 8-year-old son, who's a Brady hater, because there's way more hate now for Brady than there ever was for Michael. And my buddy's 8-year-old son is a Brady hater. And I told him, I'm like, look, I loved Michael Jordan as a kid. And I was your age when Michael Jordan won his last championship with the Bulls. And I am so appreciative that I got to see Michael Jordan. Like, that I got to watch Michael freaking Jordan. And I'm telling this kid, like, be grateful you get to watch Tom Brady, because he's not going to be around forever. And when he's gone, there's not going to be another Tom Brady. There will be a good player, and there will be good quarterbacks, and there will be discussions one day about how good these quarterbacks are and are they as good as Brady. But Tom Brady is the greatest ever, just like Michael Jordan. And so that's how I feel about Brady. I like Tannehill. I do. I mean, I like Tannehill, but when you trade for Julio Jones, your message is, guys, this is a championship team. And if it's a championship team, you're going to have to go through the Ravens and the Bills and the Chiefs and the Buccaneers or the Packers or the Seahawks or the Rams in order to win the championship. And last year, points allowed in the NFL, the Rams were number one. The Ravens were number two. The Buccaneers were number eight. The Chiefs were number 10. The Colts were number 11. The Packers were 13. Buffalo was 16. So all these teams that you can rack it up against, with the exception of Cleveland, who finished 21st, everybody else has a top-end defense. And if you've got a decent enough defense or a top half of the league defense, you're not going to let Derrick Henry beat you. And if you're not going to let Derrick Henry beat you, then you've got your two receivers to answer for that. And the quarterback has to make them pay, unlike he's ever been able to do in his career. In thesis statement. Let's go to your phones next. Unless you have a thought.
No, to the phones.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are live from 3rd and Home. If you're watching on the stream, we are live from 3rd and Home out here in Germantown. It is literally, they call it the bar with a ballpark. It is literally the bar with a ballpark as our backs are turned to left field at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds are taking on the Indianapolis Indians. And if you look at the stream, you can see all of that. And I'm sure they've got Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. You know I love Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I was with some of my Fireball people this week. I had a great time this week with my Fireball people.
Any hot takes?
They always got hot takes.
Of course.
But I was with some of my Fireball people. And, again, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, it is the best. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. It is the weekend. The muggy summer weather is here, which means it's Fireball time. So be sure to ignite the night and do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
A lot of people have been pointing out that you missing games last year. How are you feeling right now? Obviously, you work today, but for a guy who's 32 and people are ready to write you off, how are you feeling right now, and how do you expect to answer those folks?
For me, at the end of the day, I believe in me. I know what I have in the tank, and we're talking about age is 32. Like, I'm young. Like, in football, you can say it's old, but you either do it or you don't. This game don't change for me. I'm still fast and still strong. And to, you know, the games last year, I just, you know, had an issue where I didn't take enough time to heal up properly. But, you know, that was just my decision on going out there and just playing. There's no excuses, things like that. But I'll be ready to go. For those who questioning my health and things like that, just stay tuned.
There you go. That was Julio Jones yesterday saying, don't worry about his health. I mean, I'm no offense to Julio. Like, I'm a little worried about age 32, but that's because I'd be worried about anybody at age 32. I mean, it's age 32. And he says,
and it's a hamstring. A hamstring is an annoying, nagging injury.
Especially for somebody who's old. And again, I'm 31. So it's like, you know, to sit here and be like, yeah, Julio's old. I think our freshman years of college were the same year. So we're basically the same year, but I'm a talk
NFL
radio
host. Ages are different.
Right. It's like dog years.
Yes.
And, you know, 32 is old. So, again, like, it's not the end of the world to be skeptical, people. Like, I'm a little skeptical. It's not the end of the world. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying I'm a little skeptical. By the way, listen to the game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com. Enter the keyword for your shot at $1,000. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We go to your phones. Caroline Fenton is on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have?
One texter texted in and said, if Tannehill's throwing for over 300, then Henry isn't running for 100. Which one do you want? Look, I don't care. Derrick Henry could run for 5 yards a game for all I care. As long as the Titans are winning games and getting the ball in the end zone, I really don't care how it happens.
Peyton Manning, 2006, the Colts had the third best offense in the league. They won the Super Bowl. They were 12-4. Marvin Harrison, 12% of the total touches. Reggie Wayne, 11% of the total touches. So, two essentially Hall of Fame wide receivers, Harrison and Wayne. Now, again, I think those guys were Hall of Fame wide receivers because they played with Peyton Manning. But Harrison and Wayne accounted for basically 23% of the touches on offense. Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes accounted for 62% of the total touches on the offense. It's amazing to think that the running attack of Derrick Henry and Jeremy McNichols last year, and if you want to throw Tannehill into the mix, you can, because Tannehill does make some things happen with his legs, but Henry, McNichols, and Tannehill represented 59.6% of the offense. So think about this. The Indianapolis Colts, with the Titans, ran Derrick Henry, it feels like, every play last season.
Why wouldn't
they were
you?
So dependent upon Derrick Henry, and they actually used their running backs less than Peyton Manning's Colts. Think about that. What that tells me is if Tannehill's throwing for 300, then you'd rather have Derek run for 100. That's not how this works. Every game plan should be give Derek the ball and let Derek dominate the other team. But as you learned in the AFC Championship game at Kansas City, or as you learned in the wild card game last year against Baltimore, the truth is some of these teams have coordinators and game plans of their own, and some of them don't want Derrick Henry to beat them. I always thought it was funny. Floyd thinks Bill Belichick's the greatest coach who ever lived. They're good buddies. He worked for Bill. Bill, they worked together, all kinds of stuff. And he thought, because 3 years ago in 2018, Mariota and Corey Davis just lit up the Patriots in a, oh my God, did the Titans just spank New England kind of game, that Belichick was so worried about that, even though it was a different quarterback. Belichick was so worried about that in the playoff game that he thought Bill made the cardinal sin of not setting the game plan to stop Derrick Henry. It's almost like Belichick outthought himself when Derrick Henry just totally took advantage of them. If you're going to win the Super Bowl, you're going to go through good coaches. You're going to go through Harbaugh at the Ravens. You're going to go through Tomlin at the Steelers. You're going to go through Andy Reid in Kansas City. You're going to go through Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay. You're going to go through McVay and the Rams. You're going to go through good Pete Carroll. You're going to go through, unless you play Green Bay, you're going to go through good coaches. Those guys are going to have game plans to not let Derrick Henry beat you. That's when I look at Tannehill and say, okay, now that you've got Julio Jones, can you win me the game? And that means that you may have to go win it against Patrick Mahomes. Can you win me the game against Josh Allen? Can you win me the game? And I've always said that because the one thing I always felt, and you can look at the Steve McNair stats all you want, and it's fair to look at the McNair stats and say, you know, it wasn't like McNair was throwing for 330 every game. Steve McNair beat Peyton Manning in the playoffs. Steve McNair beat Bill Cowher and the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime in the playoffs. Steve McNair went toe-to-toe with Kurt Warner and lost by a yard in the Super Bowl. He beat Ray Lewis's Ravens in the playoffs. Now, they had better defenses. Those Titan defenses were way better, and that's a big part of it. But I always felt comfortable as a fan that Steve McNair could go toe-to-toe with Peyton Manning. I don't feel that way right now. There was a game where Jeff Fisher, and I don't know if you've picked up on this. I've met Jeff Fisher, but I don't really know Jeff Fisher. We all know here in Nashville there was a power struggle at the end of the Jeff Fisher-Floyd Reese relationship. I'm sure it's no secret as to which side I believe, you know, which side I'm with. And by the way, I never thought they should have fired Floyd, even when I didn't know Floyd. There's never been a huge Jeff Fisher fan. When it was time for him to go is kind of how I feel like it is with David Poyle right now, where I'm like, hey, it's time for you to go. You've been here for a long time. You've done good things, but, you know, it's time. Jeff Fisher, and I have no idea where I'm going with this. Oh, okay. Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher.
It's a Friday.
It's Fireball Hot Day Friday.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher, before a game against the Colts, which was like a gotta-have-it-for-the-division kind of game, Jeff Fisher decides to put Eddie Berlin, like a reserve receiver, as the kickoff returner. And Eddie Berlin, I believe, fumbled the ball twice on kickoff returns, setting up easy Peyton Manning touchdowns. So you just gifted Peyton 14 points in a gotta-have-it-for-the-division kind of game. And Steve McNair brought him back, and the Titans got a stop on defense, in which would have set up the Titans getting the ball back with a chance to win the game. And everybody in the stadium knew McNair was going to win the game. Everybody. And Justin McCarron's fumbled the punt. So they lost the game because they couldn't return the punt. And had he just fair caught the punt, I think the Titans would have beaten the Colts that day. Because that's the faith that I had in McNair. Now, again, I was in the eighth grade at that time. So is it different than now where I'm a little bit more skeptical and I've been through all the believing in guys and believing in Vince Young and it not working? Yes. Believing in Mariota and it not working? Yes. But it's like I don't – right now with Tannehill, and I love Tannehill, I don't have the feeling that Tannehill can go into a playoff game, have things not go their way, and him rescue this team's butt. He can do it against the Raiders and Derek Carr, but can he do it in this kind of game?
Another texter texted in and said, why do we make the assumption the defense will be bad this year? It is almost a completely new unit with majorly upgraded talent at most positions. Can we at least go into the season hoping for a middle-of-the-road defense? You can hope for that. My take on it is how much faith do you have in Shane Bowen?
Zero.
Right.
I mean, like, I know. What am I?
I think that and the Dexter's asking, why do we have no faith in the defense? That's why. I don't have no faith, but I give me a little faith.
So when I first moved back to town and started doing the show, I was doing it in the mornings with Tom Callahan. And we were talking about the Titans right around this time of the year, like July 4th-ish one time. And we were saying, you know, hey, if Mariota's the guy, and if this free agent acquisition becomes a player, and if this works out that way, and if this does this, if this does that, then this team could be really good. They were the worst team in the NFL. So it's easy to do a lot of, you know, hey, if Bud Dupree is a Bud Dupree superstar kind of player, then that's a step in the right direction. If Danico Autry is a game wrecker, that'll make Jeffrey Simmons better, and then Harold Landry will produce. And if this secondary, with the one corner who's got a bad back, and the other corner who was out for some reason, but he's probably going to be the nickel. So I got two rookies and an old guy. Kevin Byard had his worst season as a pro last year, and I'm moving Amani Hooker to a full-time starting job. That's a lot of ifs. Like, that's a lot of ifs.
Which is what we have talked about time and time again with this Titans team. There are so many ifs.
And it's hard for me on defense to get aboard on the ifs. So that's kind of where I am on that front. We'll get back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. We'll get right back to them. Since it is your day, it is Fireball Hot Take Friday right here on Stillman & Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And join Stars for their annual golf tournament, the Heart of Golf Classic, on Monday at the Vanderbilt Legends Club, powered by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. It starts at 8 a.m. Shotgun start. Breakfast and lunch will be provided. The Heart Golf Classic for Stars, Monday, June 14th at the Vanderbilt Legends Club. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Again, that is starsnashville.org. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar, moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday from 3rd and Home. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What is that like for you to go from Atlanta to now Nashville at 32? What has this been like? Can you give an example maybe where you realize, well, I'm not in Atlanta anymore?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football, right? Like, every game, it's just like game planning. You know, you got to play certain teams a certain way. You know, you're going to do things differently. So you got to just be ready on the fly at the end of the day. And that's, you know, the whole gist of things of being a professional, being a veteran. It's not, you know, you got to make the uncomfortable comfortable to you, and just different situations. Like, you know, I feel like I can do any and everything. Whether if it's blocking, going out there and catching 10 or 12, you know, balls or whatever, or catching two or three balls. At the end of the day, it's just going out there and just doing what you need to do to, you know, for the team to be successful. So I don't look at it like, okay, well, my target's going to go down or this is going to go down. Like, none of us knows how that's going to work out. You know, so it's just speculations and everybody just looking at, you know, what they've done in the past and things like that. But who knows how people are going to play us now? Who knows anything? So it's just like you just got to be ready for everything. And for me, just being a professional, what I do is just to be ready for everything. And it's just as far as I study, working out, and just being ready to go.
There you go. That was Julio Jones talking yesterday. Is it weird to have Diana Russini in those press conferences?
I was listening to it. I think I was on my way over to your house and I heard her voice.
You mean the Green Hill Studio?
Yes, the Green Hill Studio. Yes. And I was very shocked to hear her voice.
Diana Russini. What happened to that first round pick that Atlanta got offered? Has anybody investigated that?
The first round pick when? This year?
Yeah. No, remember she said that Atlanta had a first round pick on the table?
Oh, yeah, the first round pick. I think they said, nope, we'd rather have a second and a fourth and $15 million, please.
I mean.
Keep your first round pick.
So there were two things that got me, and I'm not here to bag on Diana Russini. She's, you know, whatever. But there was that. And then on TV, she was talking about how, you know, Mike and Julio are kind of similar because Mike got traded from the Patriots to the Chiefs at the end of his career, kind of like Julio. And then asked Mike about that question, about that, and Mike was basically like, yeah, I was a throw-in in the Matt Castle deal, and I was just kind of there. And I was thinking about it. I'm not sure she knows. Mike Vrabel played, like, the first half of his career at Pittsburgh. Like, he was at Pittsburgh, and then he was with the Patriots, and then he got sent to Kansas City. Not like Julio, who was drafted to be the savior of Atlanta,
was there for his entire career.
Yes, and has now been shipped off. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to bag on Diana Russini on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's go to your phones, as promised, 615-737-1025. Caroline Fenton, what do we have?
One texter texted in and said, I don't know why nobody has talked about this yet, but in my opinion, it's going to come down to how well Ryan Tannehill can read disguises on defense. It's obvious if there's 8 in the box, we're throwing. If there's 6 in the box, we're running. But what happens when there's 6 in the box and as the ball is snapped, they bring down 2 more in the box and we had a run play called, there's an 8 in the box, and the last second they drop 2 players out in coverage,
sure,
so on and so forth in terms of reading defenses.
So let me put this to you. If I had a list, like if this were Family Feud and it was, okay, we surveyed 100 people, what are your big concerns about the Titans this year? Defenses confusing Ryan Tannehill would literally be like 930th on my list of concerns. The key to this, I think, the season in 2019 was the switch at quarterback, and it was Tannehill reading the defense. And I remember a quote John Gruden had after Tannehill went in there and absolutely sliced up the Raiders to the tune of 391, 3 touchdowns, a pick. And on that pick, he made an incredible tackle, and they won 42-21. And John Gruden was basically sitting there after the game saying, like, and I, again, I'm paraphrasing here, was like, what do you want me to do? I mean, you know, you try to stop that beast. Tannehill checks out of it, throws the ball down the field. You try to set up to stop Tannehill. You drop back. All of a sudden, he turns around and hands the ball off to Henry. I just don't know what you do. I mean, we saw that. I think Mariota, and I love Mariota, but I think, like, one of the things we talk about, Mariota being a nice guy, I think Mariota was always taught as a kid, hey, this is what the coach is telling you to do. So if the coach is telling you to do that, this is what you do. So coach calls, you know, banana 3Y80, Mariota sitting out there saying, no, we're going to run banana 3Y80. I think when Arthur Smith would tell Tannehill, hey, we're going to run banana 3Y80, I think Tannehill knows, okay, but if they give us this look, I'm checking out of it, and here's what I'm checking to. And I think you saw that a lot with Tannehill at the line of scrimmage. It wasn't like Peyton Manning-esque, where Peyton would literally point out every player on defense before the snap. But I think most of these players, we talked about Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
When Tony Romo, like, we remember how people used to say Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage was like this super genius.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we know, hey, you're not going to show Tom Brady something Tom hasn't seen yet. I think most of these veteran quarterbacks pretty much know what they're looking at every time. And I think Tony Romo is an example of that, because Tony was never considered to be a great decision maker or a genius quarterback when he was at Dallas. And as soon as he got on TV, Tony was telling us, oh my God, they're single covered up here, so he's either going to go here, or if they drop the safety, he's going to... I think Tannehill's doing the same thing. Like, I think Tannehill has the same knowledge base that Tony Romo does, and that's the Tony Romo knowledge base that literally knocks everybody's pants off. I think Tannehill's got the same thing. And so the idea of, you know, could a defense trick Tannehill? I'm sure it will happen, but I'm more worried. Like, Tannehill doesn't really get tricked. Tannehill's mistakes come, like, last year when a free rusher at Baltimore was coming at him, and the game ended up winning in overtime. A free rusher was coming at him, and he panicked and threw the ball right to Patrick Queen, who was standing there right there over the middle. Like, that's the kind of thing that Tannehill, that's how you get Tannehill.
Mm.
Or, like, if you look at Tannehill, I would love to go back and look at every single one of Tannehill's interceptions. Like, last year against Cleveland, they lost by 5, but it was more than that. Cleveland fumbled at the end of the game when it was already over anyways. But Tannehill was 389, 3 touchdowns and a pick. That pick was a ball that hit Adam Humphries square in the hands and popped up into the arm of the defender inside the 5-yard line. That's not Tannehill's fault. They played the Texans 2 years ago in a had-to-have-it game for the division that they lost. Right at the goal line, ball pops out of Firkser's hands into the arms, I believe, of Whitney Mercilus. And that was a total game-changing interception, but it wasn't Tannehill's fault. So the idea that the texter has about, you know, defenses showing Tannehill one thing and doing another, I think he's seen that for 8 or 9 years. And I think he's, it's like Brady said one time, I have the answers to the test. I think Tannehill's kind of the same. 615-737-1025. We will get back to your text. Plus, the distribution of the football. We touched on this a little bit yesterday. We asked TD about this. What do we think the right distribution of the ball will be for the 2021 Titans? We'll do that next. Stillman and Company live on a Fireball Hot Take Friday from First and Home. ESPN Third and Home. First and Home.
First is the other side.
The other side of the stadium. Third and Home. It's ESPN 1025. The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.